May it please the court, good morning.
Good morning.
Michael Olshansky, I represent the appellate in this matter, and I apologize for my delay.
Yeah, you were stuck in line, right?
I was, and it was a line that I had never experienced before here in the U.S. Court of Appeals. This case is on appeal from a denial of a petition for a under 2255, in which the district court refused to grant the petitioner's request that his guilty plea be set aside in order to allow him to go to trial. The two basic issues raised in this appeal are, first, that the defendant was provided ineffective assistance of counsel when his trial counsel advised him by mistake that the appropriate age for the commission of this offense, the appropriate age of the victim of this offense, was at least 18 years of age. There was a hearing during the hearing on the petition for the 2255, in which counsel admitted that he had misadvised the defendant, the appellant, of his perception of what the proper age for this particular offense was. It was confusing from the statute itself as to how it's written, because the statute provides that the victim...
Yeah, the statute is completely confusing, I agree. But this February 08 chat, if I thought the district court's interpretation of that chat was correct, then is there any other evidence in the record that suggests that he thought she was 16?
Well, it's correct that in the proceedings leading up to the sentencing, in his discussions with the probation officer, in his discussions with the psychologist who provided a report with respect to his mental condition, that in both of those instances, the defendant admitted, or at least stated, that he perceived the victim to be of 14 years of age. His interpretation of the chat is such that, again, he's always maintained that he had previously chatted with Mandy Poole, this fictitious individual who was the victim of this case, and perceived, based upon his prior chats with her, that in the various conversations he had, including the conversation in this particular, in February of 2008, that his perception was that she was at least 16 years of age. And that's really what he's based his whole appeal upon, is that if he had been properly advised of the appropriate age, that he would have, in all probability, in a reasonable probability, decided to go to trial in this case rather than...
But the question we have to answer is whether a rational defendant would have gone to trial under these circumstances. And, he was facing a mandatory minimum that was more than twice what he pled to, right? Why would anybody do that? Is there any basis for believing that
I think the reason he would do that was, again, his perception that Mandy Poole was at least 16 years of age. And again, I think what the real question that's unanswerable is, although he was arrested and charged by complaint with an offense for which the proper age was 18, yeah, the actual offense that he entered a plea to was misinterpreted by his counsel to mean that he admitted that he was guilty of that offense based upon his misunderstanding of what the proper age was. Now, it's impossible to know what would have happened in the case if he had rejected the plea offer and had gone to trial where the appropriate age was 18. Again, the issue is whether it would be reasonable for him to make a decision to go to trial facing the mandatory minimum offense where the appropriate age was 18, rather than entering a plea to an offense where the appropriate age was 16. So it's impossible to tell that. The question for the court is to decide whether it was reasonable for him to decide to do that and go to...
What's the significance of the fact that in his 2255 affidavit, he doesn't actually say he would have gone to trial? Is that of any significance?
I'm not sure that it was. I don't think he has to proffer that he would go to trial. I think he just has to establish that he was provided ineffective assistance of counsel. And I think it's, since a lot of this initial inquiry was done pro se, I think it's to be presumed that he wouldn't have proceeded in this way unless his intention was to withdraw the guilty plea and to go to trial. I think it's clear that, the issue is pretty clear that the counsel's misrepresentation or misunderstanding of what the appropriate age was clearly ineffective assistance of counsel. The bigger issue is whether or not there's a reasonable probability that he would have gone to trial and that the effect of the plea should be set aside. If there are no further questions, I'll save the remaining time.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Peter Smith on behalf of the United States. The district court did not err in denying appellant's 2255 petition because there was no basis for defense counsel to inquire in about the age of Mandy Poole because appellant repeatedly admitted that Mandy Poole was 14 years old. And for that same reason, appellant can't establish that he was prejudiced in any way, which was the discussion that the court had with counsel just now. The chats themselves evidenced appellant's belief that Mandy Poole was 14. He was told in June of 2007 by Mandy Poole that I'll be 14 soon. Appellant's statement of offense says that Mandy Poole was 14 years old at the time of appellant's offense conduct, and he agreed to that statement of offense and represented that it was true to the district court under oath. The district court made factual findings, which are reflected in its memorandum opinion denying appellant's 2255 petition, and found that appellant had repeatedly conceded or admitted or reflected his belief that Mandy Poole was, in fact, 14 years old. He told the defense expert witness, psychologist, that Mandy Poole was 14. He changed the screen name that he was using in the chat room to reflect the fact that he understood that Mandy Poole was a young girl. He thought that the screen name that he had been using would be off-putting to her given her young age. And for those reasons, the district court made factual findings to which this court owes substantial deference that appellant did in fact believe that Mandy Poole was 14 years old at the time of his offense conduct.
Do you agree with defense counsel that the test here is subjective? It's whether the defendant would have gone to trial?
I think perhaps it's whether what a reasonable defendant would do and not whether what this particular defendant would do. But I think given the weakness of the proffered affirmative defense, which was that appellant believed that his intended victim, Mandy Poole, was 16 years old, given the weakness of that, the fact that it's just flatly contradicted by the record, I think the government would prevail under either standard because the government, and again, it would be appellant's burden of proof on the 2255 petition, but the government actually proved and that's reflected in the district court's findings that appellant did in fact believe that Mandy Poole was 14. So that's sort of a long-winded answer, Your Honor, but I think that it's an objective test, but I think the government would satisfy either one. If there are no further questions, we urge the court to affirm the judgment of the district court.
Thank you. How much time does Mr. Olshansky have?
In the 3 minutes that I have remaining, I've received the what's styled a written statement for oral argument from the appellant that he wanted me to present. And I'll try to just summarize what his position is. He makes some allegations with respect to Mr. Dale's intentional misrepresentation of the age of the statute that the appellant entered a plea to. And I can't in any way urge the court to think that this is true. I think it's clearly Mr. Dale's error that was unintentional, inadvertent, and not deliberate. But he does go on in his oral statement, the written version of the oral statement, to emphasize his interpretation of this long chat, in which he continually emphasizes a couple of points, that he asks the Mandy Poole if she's 16 already, and then throughout the conversation, which I think on the record, the transcript of the conversation is very difficult for the court to understand and interpret without actually hearing the conversations. The bare record is at best ambiguous. He wants to point out to the court that throughout the conversation that's recorded, he emphasizes his desire to wait until Mandy Poole is at least 18 years of age so that whatever activity he intends to perform with her is done when she's reached this statutory age.
Yeah, but at one point he does say, quote, "Are you 16 already?"
Yes.
Answer, yes. No. Sorry. Answer, no.
Right. Again, I would suggest that due to the ambiguous nature of the transcript of the chat conversations, I don't think it's really clear that he would not take this case to trial and try to interpret or explain the conversations in a totality as his belief that she was at least 16, and if necessary, he would wait until she was 18 to have any sexual activity with her.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Olshansky, you were appointed by the court to represent the defendant, and we are grateful to you for your assistance. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.